This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Selection, Sister Moffitt, amen.
Yeah.
As we stand, We want to call your attention to the book of Psalms, chapter 71. And in a real sense, this psalm speaks to the heart of our senior members. We thank God for all of our senior members. Amen. We thank God for each of you, and I thank God for my mother this morning, and hopefully she's watching. God has blessed her to see 94 years. Amen. So if you're a senior, this passage ought to be special to you. You ought to be able to identify with what the psalmist is saying. Psalm 71, verses 1 through 6. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege. And we pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and our minds, a word that will remind us of the faith and confidence we ought to have in you. We thank you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I guess if you are looking for a title to this message, let me just say, let's call it, I Will Trust in the Lord. Amen. I Will Trust in the Lord. A group of botanists. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. Thank you. A group of botanists, and if you don't know what a botanist is, a botanist, those are people who deal with the scientific study of plants. A group of botanists went on an expedition into a hard-to-reach location in the Alps, searching for new varieties of flowers. One day, a scientist, looking through his binoculars, saw a beautiful, rare species of flower growing at the bottom of a very deep ravine. In order to reach it, someone would have to be lowered down into that deep pit. The botanist saw a local boy standing nearby, so he asked the boy if he would be willing to help him get the flower. The boy was told that they were going to tie a rope around him, and they would lower him down to the floor of the canyon. The boy was excited, but he was also apprehensive. As he peered throughout and looked down into that deep pit, he said to the botanist, wait a minute, I'll be back. And he ran off, and when he returned, there was an older man with him. The young boy approached the head botanist and said, he said, I will go over the cliff and I'll go down into the ravine and I will get the flower for you under one condition, that this man hold the rope. He's my daddy. Amen. And I think that we will all agree that life is filled with many unfathomable challenges. And how we handle them is determined by this one simple detail. Who is holding your rope? That's a good question this morning. Who's holding your rope? I believe that one of the reasons so many people give up and throw in the towel and suicide rates are skyrocketing, amen, is because a lot of people are trying to fight life's challenges by themselves. But if you've lived a while, amen, if you've been around a minute, and if you have discovered that when God is holding the rope, amen, amen, everything may not happen the way you want it to happen, but you know, at the end of the day, God has your best interest in mind. And I wonder if there are any witnesses here this morning who can look back over the terrain of your life and testify, I didn't get here by myself. Amen. And then you would need to add to that testimony, Pastor, it ain't always been easy. Amen. I didn't get here lying on a bed of roses. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, but I'm a living witness today that I survived because God was holding the rope. Somebody ought to give him praise today. That is exactly the point the psalmist makes in this 71st chapter of Psalms. There is no avoiding the trials we face throughout our lives. We have no choice but to plunge straight ahead, come what may, but we do have one decision to make, and that decision is whether we will go by ourselves or will we take our Father with us. Tell your neighbor Psalm 71 is a prayer. Amen. Now, we know the book of Psalms is a song book, but in a real literal sense, this 71st number of Psalms is a prayer. But it's the prayer of a believer with some telling character traits. It's not the early final words of a man facing possible death. It is more like a prayer of praise because the writer already knows the outcome is going to be in his favor. In the beginning, it sounds as though he's desperate for deliverance. With the enemy hot on his trail, he's saying, Lord, rescue me. He's saying, Lord, save me. Y'all, these sound like pleading words of desperation and fear. But a closer look reveals some valuable truths about the psalmist's relationship with God. Let's look at what he says about his relationship with God. Number one, he lets us know that a relationship with God produces confidence. I'm reflecting on Brother Deion Sanders. There's a viral video of him that was going around, amen, where he said, don't let my confidence offend you. Amen. And that just sounds to me like somebody who's been walking with God. Amen. Amen. It's not so much that I'm confident in myself, and I am that, but not solely confident in myself. I'm confident in the God who woke me up this morning. I'm confident in the God who put food on my, and I don't know about y'all, but I'm just kind of crazy, and I'm crazy enough to believe that if God fed me yesterday, I was going to eat today. Do I have any witnesses here? I'm confident enough to believe that if God paid that light bill last month, if he helped me to pay the water bill last month, amen, the money might be funny and the change might be strange, but I'm just convinced that God will make a way out of no way. If you believe that, give him praise in this place. A relationship with God produces confidence. Look at what the writer says. The psalmist says, he says, be to me a great protecting rock where I am always welcome. Oh my, oh my, oh my. He says, keep me safe from all attacks, for you have issued the order to save me. My brothers and sisters, this is not the prayer of a man pleading for his life. It is the prayer of a man who knows that his Father is already at work planning his rescue. Amen, amen. Somebody said instead of worrying about it, amen, Just rest in the fact that God is working it out. He's planning his work, and he's working his plan. Amen. While we're trying to figure it out, God is already working it out. Somebody ought to testify today. Amen. That problem that I had that I could not seem to solve, the more I prayed and I prayed, but I kept getting deeper involved. But then I turned it over to Jesus and I stopped worrying about it, and he worked it out. Are there any folk in here today that can look back and say he worked it out? We're coming up on Halloween. And Halloween is all about ghosts and goblins and stuff that's scary. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, what scares you? What haunts you? What are you afraid of? Amen. And a lot of us, amen, we will say nothing. I ain't scared of nothing. Amen. I ain't afraid of nothing. Amen. But the truth of the matter is that all of us, from time to time, have some fears that we got to deal with. Even if it's just the fear of an unknown future. We wonder, amen, will we survive life's many financial crises? We wonder if an accident will change our life. We wonder if disease will overtake us. There's a lot in life to worry about. Well, I want you to see this morning that the psalmist is haunted too. But don't get it twisted. He's not haunted, amen, by the devil. He's not haunted by his enemies. The psalmist lets us know that the only thing he's haunted by is God. Y'all do know that that's really what worship is all about. The word worship is derived from a Greek word that is related to the word awe. To worship means to be in awe of. It means, amen, to have godly reverential fear. And can I tell you something? You ain't really worshiping God if you don't have any healthy fear of who he is and what he's able to do. Amen. And so every now and then it's good for us to consider the fact that the next heartbeat is in his hand. The next breath is in his hand. Amen. And don't let how you look get you messed up. Don't let how you feel get you messed up. Is there anybody here who has discovered that time is filled with swift transition? You can be up today and down tonight. You can be riding around bragging on yourself today and be in a hospital room tonight. And so the only thing that ought to haunt the believer is God. And the psalmist is haunted by God. He's filled with confidence because he has learned that in God we live and we move and we have our being. Amen. When you're haunted by God, nothing else can get in. Your cares can't get in. Your tribulations can't get in. Your anxieties cannot get in. The psalmist teaches us that if you want to have peace, you have to let go of the sin of worry. What are you worried about? What are you afraid of? Can Pastor encourage somebody this morning? God can handle it. Amen. I don't care what the doctors say. God can handle it. I don't care what your accountant says. God can handle it. I don't care how it looks or how you feel. I've come by to encourage you by reminding you that God can handle it. He can handle it. The life of a true believer is hid with Jesus Christ. And that's what keeps us at peace. I don't know about you, but that's what gives me peace. Even in the midst of my storm. Even when folk are lying on me and talking about me, even in the midst of misunderstandings, tribulations, trials, none of them are a match for the Christian whose faith rests in a God who can fight every battle. For the word says that his soul shall dwell at ease. That's how God wants you to be this morning. At ease. Amen. Amen. God does not expect that his children would be up all night pacing the floor, amen, worrying and crying and depressed like you don't know you've got a God that can handle whatever the devil throws your way. Acting like you don't know that God is bigger than those co-workers who are trying to tear you down. Acting like you don't know that God is bigger than your own family members who ought to have your back, but they're the ones causing you trouble. Is there anybody here today who has confidence because of your relationship with God? Baby, I've been walking with him. I've been talking with him. Amen, amen. Now, can I be real with you? 10 years ago, some stuff that happens today would have had me all messed up. 20 years ago, I know I'm not by myself. Some stuff now that I laugh at. Some stuff now, amen, that I smile about would have had me all bent out of shape. But I thank God that I have a relationship with him. And the longer I walk with him, the more I commune with him, I find out that trouble won't last always. Am I by myself? Anybody in here over 70? Amen. Folk counted you out a long time ago. Some doctor said you wouldn't make it, but you're here on this Sunday morning as a witness of what God is able to do. I need some seniors. I need some folk who've been around a little while to testify with the psalmist that he is a keeper. David said, he's a present help in trouble. So we learn from the psalmist that serving God produces confidence. But also we learn that a relationship with God guarantees longevity. Now, if you don't understand me, don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean that just because you have a relationship with God that you might die young. You might not die young. Amen. But one thing I know is that if you do want to live a long time, you're better off having a relationship with God. Amen. Amen. If you want to be around a little while, and I use my mother as an example, amen, as she tells a story of how when she was a little kid, amen, and they grew up in Northeast Louisiana area called Sicily Island and Fowles, Louisiana, and her parents were sharecroppers. They didn't have a lot of money, amen, but one Christmas, my mother said that she got for Christmas one of those buffalo nickels. That's all she got for Christmas. And my mother said that where her brothers and sisters took their nickel and went to the store and bought candy and stuff, my mama said she took her nickel and put it in the church. And my mama swears by Deacon Thompson that to this day she's blessed and better than blessed because she learned at an early age how to honor God even with the fruit that came into her life. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God for our senior members. Now, let me say something. We thank God for our young members. Yes, we do. Amen. But we also thank God for our senior members. And in a whole lot of churches, if it wasn't for the senior members, wouldn't hardly be anybody in church. And if it wasn't for the senior members, sure enough, wouldn't be no bills paid. But I thank God this morning that even the young people in Pleasant Hill are learning, amen, how if you want to be blessed, you got to tithe. You got to bless God with your first fruits. I thank God that even our young people are learning, amen, to bless God with their gifts. But our senior members are really the ones. Amen. The light bill may not get paid, but they're going to pay their tithes because they figured it out a long time ago that if you want God to bless you, you've got to do what he's blessing. And the Bible says that if you will tithe, God will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room to receive. Now, I knew y'all were going to get quiet right through there. as we talked about giving. But I'm telling you, if you want to live a long life, if you want to live a blessed life in your relationship with God, you've got to honor him with the first fruits. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But then finally, and I'm closing, a relationship with God generates appreciation.
Yes,
amen. A relationship with God generates confidence. A relationship with God generates longevity. But finally, a relationship with God generates appreciation. Let me hear everybody say, you ought to appreciate God. And I don't know about y'all, but you know, every now and then you do something for somebody, and the only way you know they appreciate it is because you just know they ought to appreciate it. I know y'all don't have some friends like I do, but every now and then they get in a bind and they call me to help, and some folk act like you're just supposed to help them. I know y'all don't know any folk like that. Some folk just act like, amen, amen, that you're supposed to do whatever it is you do. And do you know what the bad thing is? Some of us treat God like that. We just act like he's supposed to wake us up in the morning. He's supposed to put food on our table. Amen. But what the psalmist teaches us is that when you have a real relationship with God, it ought to generate appreciation. Look at what he says. He says, yes, you have been with me from birth and have helped me constantly. No wonder I'm always praising you.
Yes, Lord. All right.
Oh, my. No wonder I'm always praising you. My brothers and sisters, God is seeking those who display a genuine appreciation for his grace and his mercy, for his love and his care. Did you know that your private worship of God is the start of your faith fitness workout? And I have come to conclude that the reason some folk don't praise him in church is because they haven't practice praise in private. The reason some people don't worship him on Sunday in public is because they haven't practiced worship at home in private. Oh, oh my, oh my, oh my. I know it's true. I know it's true. Some of your Bibles, you know, somebody said jokingly that many of our Bibles are so happy when Sunday comes, amen, because they finally get to fellowship with us. Because all week we don't pick them up, we don't touch them, amen. But on Sunday we grab our Bible, even if it's the Bible on your phone. You ain't looked at it all week, amen. But you get to church and you pull up that Bible, and that's good, amen. But I promise you, you would be better able to find passages and find scripture on Sunday if you practiced it at home during the week. Do I have a witness? I promise you that your praise would be better if you didn't wait to get here on Sunday to praise him. But if you praise him in your kitchen, when you open that Frigidaire and there's food in there to eat, there's milk in there.